Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here on another awesome Sunday night, and this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. You know, I always forget to advertise something that's near and dear to my heart. For those of you that live in the Cleveland area, or if you're listening on 1220 The Word or 96.9 FM, and you are in the Cleveland area, I'd like to invite you on Friday nights to my ministry called One in Messiah, where we meet for about an hour and a half or so, and we do praise and worship music. I do a teaching. We have some discussion or prayer time, and that's called One in Messiah. The website is www.oneinmessiah.website. That's oneinmessiah.website. And if you go to that site, you can hear the teachings that are associated with the Friday night ministry. And also, if you go to the YouTube channel, which is One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries, One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries, you can see videos of the Friday night teachings. And we are now meeting at 709 Brook Park Road in Brooklyn Heights. That's 709 Brook Park Road. It's at Calvary Chapel Church. And Pastor Mike Booker has been gracious to let us use his facility on Friday nights. And if you want to stop in, that would be great. Stop in and say hello, and I'd love to see you come in. And it's a very nice group of people, and we generally have a good time. So anyway, that's every Friday night. We start at 6:15 p.m., 709 Brook Park Road. So for the last, I think, 3 weeks now, this might be the fourth week, we have been in the book of Galatians. And we've been in chapter 1, because chapter 1 is just chock full of great information from Paul. But everything from Paul is great information. He's my hero. Everything is great information. And he has been talking, well, actually he's writing to the Galatian church, the church in Galatia, about how they had so quickly turned away from the gospel and were turning to another gospel, which was not a gospel at all. And I hope you've heard the other three programs, but another quick commercial. If not, you can go to www.giftofgraceministries.org. That's giftofgraceministries.org. And you can hear actually all the radio shows going back to 2009. But certainly the last few to where, of course, this one follows. And I'm not sure how long we're going to keep going in Galatians. Sometimes I get on a roll. But anyway, tonight we're still going to be in chapter 1. We ended up the last time, last week, with Paul talking about how he wasn't here to please men. He wasn't here to flatter the Gentiles. He wasn't here to impress the religious leaders of the Jews that were in diaspora, or in fact, the ones that were in the land either, but this was particularly to the Galatians. He was not there to please men. He was there to make the gospel known to them. And he started out the whole book by saying what the gospel was. Which, of course, as you always hear me say in our time, that nobody knows anymore what the gospel is, including in the church. The gospel's been perverted into any number of things. And Paul points out at the very beginning of Galatians that the plan of God was that Jesus the Messiah would die on the cross for our sins, that would deliver us from sin, deliver us from death. And this was the plan of salvation. And as Peter confirms, there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There is no other plan. There are not 52 plans. There's not 8 plans. There's not even 2 plans. There's 1 plan. And so he tells this to the Galatians, and then he accuses them of having moved away from the gospel of grace, having moved away from the purity of the gospel, and that they had gone to a gospel that wasn't a gospel at all. Now, in this particular case, the Galatians were influenced by what were called the Judaizers, Jewish believers who were telling the new Gentile believers that they had to follow the law of Moses before they could follow Jesus, Yeshua, as Messiah. And he condemns this as a perversion of the gospel, because the gospel is one of grace, and that's the good news, and that the gospel cannot have things added on to it because it is a plan. And he pointed out in Galatians 1:11, actually, I'll just read 11 and 12, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." We talked about this last week. The gospel was revealed to him. The gospel did not originate with men. Paul was not taught the gospel by a man. He didn't go to some kind of a class where the gospel was explained to him. It was directly revealed to him, as it is to all of us, by the Holy Spirit. In Paul's case, on the road to Damascus, he encountered the risen Christ, who told him the gospel, revealed many things to him. And then in the 3 days that he spent blind and praying in Damascus before Ananias came to heal him and to baptize him, Paul was told that he was going to be a very special vessel to reach the Gentiles. And he talks many, many times in his letters about how he is the apostle to the Gentiles, how he is to take the message to the Gentiles. In fact, in Ephesians, he even calls this the mystery of the ages. And that mystery of the ages that he talks about is the fact that Gentiles are now included as co-heirs with the Jews in the kingdom, in the gospel. So there's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, rich or poor, young or old, etc., etc. The gospel is for everyone. And there is one body of Christ, one body of Messiah, not a Jewish body and a Gentile body, but one body. And so he says this plan did not originate with men, because men would have made a different kind of a plan. No man would have made this be the plan of salvation. He says, this was revealed to me. And I used the example last week of Peter's great confession at Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And they kicked this around a little bit, John the Baptist, Elijah, the prophet. And Simon Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus tells him that this was not revealed to him by flesh and blood. This was revealed to him from above. And of course, it's only through the Holy Spirit working on someone that they understand what the gospel is. Like Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, this was revealed to me, and it did not originate with men. It came from a direct revelation. You know, if we made a plan of salvation, we would either make it very, very simple and say, well, let's just overlook all this sin stuff and everybody gets saved. Because after all, that would be nice. And there are people am preaching that nowadays, believe it or not, some in very large, well-known denominations. Or the plan would be, which sounds natural, is that we would somehow earn it. We would somehow earn salvation. That we would make ourselves worthy of it because of our holiness and our awesomeness. Well, we are to be holy. God says, be holy, for I am holy. But the gospel explains to us that we're not holy. We're defective. We stand condemned. You know, if you read the book of Romans, which is sometimes called the Constitution of Christianity, because Paul writes such a brilliant, brilliant explanation of the law and of grace. And this book, Galatians, that we've been in is pretty similar. But men think that they should earn it. You know, like the parable that Jesus uses about the workers in the vineyard. Some guy started at 7 in the morning and some guy started at 4:30. And when they quit, they all got the same pay. Because naturally, people would say, hey, wait a minute, I've been working since 7 o'clock. I should get a lot more money than that guy who started at 4:30. But the owner who hired the worker said, hey, it's my money and I'm free to do with it with what I want. And I'm paying everybody the same. So our reward is not based on our work, on our awesomeness, on our deeds, about how wonderful we are, because Paul tells us in Romans, there's not one who's righteous, not one. So he says, this didn't come from men, because this goes against our common sense. And because it was revealed directly to him, he points out, this was revealed directly to him by Jesus, we know that it can't be an error, and it cannot be defective. And furthermore, Paul's commissioning, as he realized when he was praying those 3 days, and when Ananias came to heal him and baptize him, you recall that the Lord says to Ananias, Paul is going to be my chosen vessel to the Gentiles. He's going to suffer because of this, but he's my chosen vessel to the Gentiles. And so this was a direct revelation. It couldn't be defective, and it couldn't be an error, and there could be no question about what was going on here. So then he goes on to say in 13, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. So what Paul's saying is that he was advancing in Judaism. He was the star pupil of Gamaliel. Gamaliel, who's mentioned in the book of Acts, was the premier rabbi of the time. We know that Saul of Tarsus went to Jerusalem at the time of his bar mitzvah, when he would have been about 13 years of age, and studied at the temple under Gamaliel until his experience on the road to Damascus. We don't know exactly how many years that was, but he spent many years studying the scripture, studying the Tanakh, the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. And he advanced in it more than everybody else did. We would say he was the star pupil of the premier teacher of the time. So he kind of lays out his credentials here, and you notice that Paul does that periodically through his letters. You know, he kind of rolls out his credentials and says, you know, if anybody should know this, it should be me. If anybody should know that Jesus is Messiah, it should have been the religious leaders, because They knew all the scripture. They didn't have a passing knowledge like people today do, and that's being gracious. Most people today have no clue what's in the scripture. These guys knew it backwards and forwards. In the book of Romans, again, near the beginning, I can't remember the exact chapter and verse, but Paul says, of all the people that should have known that Jesus was Messiah, it should have been the religious leaders. So he says he advanced because he was exceedingly zealous. And this is, when you think about it, this is why he persecuted the church. This is why he persecuted those early believers, because they not only were saying that this man, Yeshua, was the Messiah, there were many false messiahs that had popped up. In fact, at the beginning of Acts, like in, I think, chapter 4 and 5, I think 5 in particular, Gamaliel himself says, you know, these other messiahs showed up and they died and that was the end of the movement. And so he tells his fellow people in the Sanhedrin that if this move is of God, you won't be able to stop it because you'll be fighting God. Which, of course, it was, and they did, and they couldn't stop it. And he said, if it's of men, it'll just go away on its own, like it did with these other people. So there were many false messiahs. So it bothered Paul that they were saying that Yeshua was the Messiah, but what bothered him more, and what, when someone is zealous for the law, you have to understand that when they not only said that this Jesus of Nazareth was Messiah, but that he was the Son of God, that he was God. And in the mind of the teachers of the law, in the mind of the intellectuals who spent all their time studying the law, this was idolatry, because what they were saying is a man can be God. I had this experience very personally in Jerusalem some years ago when I was at the Western Wall and got into a debate with an ultra-Orthodox rabbi who took me aside, and I didn't go there to debate, but he took me aside and started asking me questions. And he, after about a 45-minute debate, in which he was very angry and would sometimes storm away and then he would come back. Then he would storm away and then he would come back. But at the end of the conversation, he actually was poking me with his finger in the chest and he said, I'm not talking to you anymore because you are an idolater. And I said, why do you say I'm an idolater? And he said, because you think that a man can be God, and that's idolatry, so I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And he left. So this is why Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the believers, because in his zeal for the law, this was blasphemy. This was sacrilegious, but it was one of the most horrible forms of idolatry that these believers were saying that this Jesus of Nazareth, who was a man that they had put to death, was also the Son of God. And so he said, I persecuted the church because of that. I persecuted the believers. You know, after telling him his background, and he knew all about his studies and how he was the most zealous, he knew the law and the traditions of the people. You know, Jesus said, your traditions make my word of no effect. Because they didn't just emphasize the law, they emphasized all the traditions. And he was advancing, he was boasting about his advancement and about his qualifications and about his ability to understand the law. And we have people like that in many denominations in the body now. We're not going to take time to go over specific people, but you can think about that and think about examples of that, where they think they are the only ones who understand the truth, the only ones that know the real truth, the only ones that understand the scripture. Nobody else knows it. Those people over there in church B, they're a disaster. And those people over there in church C, they're messed up. And those people over there in church D, well, there's no way the Holy Spirit would be working over there, because over here in church A, we know everything there is to know. We have those people around. And when these Judaizers were tormenting the Galatian Gentile believers, Paul could understand that very well, because he had been on both sides of the argument, so to speak. And he was the mechanism that brought the gospel there. And so they knew, and the Jewish believers knew, that Saul of Tarsus, who is now better known as Paul, did not make this gospel up because of his former conduct. That was absolutely excluded, that he would have just made up this story. Not to mention, of course, that a few years later he was beheaded for what he believed, did not renounce Messiah, and went willingly to his death, as he writes to Timothy and says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. My time's near now. So they knew he hadn't made up this gospel. So he said, I persecuted the believers. I tried to destroy this new movement, this infant church. I tried to destroy it because I thought they were idolaters. So we have this is a great example of what happens to change someone's life, because on the road to Damascus, his entire life was changed. He went from being this zealot for the law, knowing the traditions, persecuting the church, being advancing in the law and in the traditions of the fathers more than anyone else, to being, as he says, the apostle of grace and the apostles of the Gentiles. He says, I'm a minister for this gospel. I am spreading this gospel. I am spreading this word of grace. I'm spreading this plan of salvation to the Gentiles, to the nations, to the Goyim. This is a radical, radical transformation. And this is why it's so important to study the scriptures. It's so important to study the Old Testament, the Tanakh. It's so important to know what the law was, what the law involved, and what a radical departure from the law grace is. But if you don't understand the law, you can't understand grace. If you think the Old Testament, the Tanakh, is just kind of that old stuff, and it's really boring, and there's all those names and all those battles, and God was really mean then, now he's nice, but then he was really mean. If that's your attitude to the Tanakh, you can't completely understand what Jesus, Messiah Yeshua, did when he came and what he delivered you from. And so Paul, the people who listened to Paul knew this was not the same Paul, not the same Saul of Tarsus that they knew in Jerusalem. And then he goes on to say that this was not something that just happened randomly, verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and remained with him 15 days. And I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So, I know my time is running out, but he says, I'm called from my mother's womb to be an apostle. This is by grace. This is by divine plan. This wasn't some random event that happened. And he knew that because of this grace, he was to preach the message to the Gentiles, that the plan of salvation was revealed by him and through him to the Gentiles. And he didn't confer with anyone about this. He didn't need their advice. Oh boy, the music's been playing for a little bit. Whoa. Well, thanks for joining us, and I hope you come back again next week, where we'll read and teach God's word, and we'll proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.